You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Like some bad movie.
Not starting now.
Not starting what?
It all sounds like some bad movie. No, no.
Oh, no.
We're Oscar season now, baby.
Now we get to watch some good stuff.
That's the perceived notion.
Yes. Well, I think this is a good... I think this year's feeling a bit better than others.
I think you're right. Well, you know what, too? The Academy, or those who vote, had the balls to not nominate the Avatar film, and also to not nominate Wicked.
Oh, thank Allah, thank Vishnu, thank Muhammad, thank Krishna, thank whatever gods you can think of that I don't have to watch Avatar 3 or... Oh,
Wicked, yeah. So,
or Wicked 2.
So...
Load off my mind.
Yeah, I mean, every single list I came across, you know, Oscar predictions. This is what we think. You know, we're accurate most of the time. Every single one of them had Wicked, and every single one had Wicked, and most of them had Avatar.
I'm so glad Wicked, I mean, Avatar I'm obviously thrilled about, but I'm also thrilled that Wicked 2 didn't get nominated, because I would hate to award the filmmakers for taking a film that could have been done in 2.5 hours and turning it into two films. Right. They would have been awarding them for doing that.
Yeah. No, you're right. Because, well, listen, sequels rarely get nominated.
Good.
Which is for good reason most of the time. You do see it on occasion. And they were saying that this one had a good chance because it was a continuation of the first film. They filmed them at the same time, so it's the same quality. You know, very Lord of the Rings-esque. And you know, all three of those movies got nominated for Best Picture because all three were filmed over 18 months, and it was literally one movie chopped into three parts. You know, that's where some of that comes when you film a movie back-to-back and... your first film gets nominated. You usually get a nomination for the second, but I'm glad they did not do that this time.
I had a feeling they weren't going to, because I was able to easily locate more rational negative reviews of the second one than I was the first one. Casually, I'm not like I'm actually doing this on you know, for a reason. Right. But like when I would come across reviews, I actually came across more rational, you know, not like fanboy bullshit. But like real people critiquing the film, and they said like it was heavy with new songs that just weren't as good, and it just like it meandered a bit.
It also shows by no songs from Wicked are nominated in the original song category.
Exactly, so, that was a big criticism I had been hearing about the music, that it was just wasn't as catchy as the first film. So, kudos all around to the Academy for saving me from having to watch this crap. I mean. As we go down to Best Picture list, I like the worst films there. That as far as me not wanting to watch, are at least going to be entertaining.
True, very very true. Like for instance, it's a Best Picture nominee. We'll get to it, but not that I'm not interested in seeing the F1 film. It's not. I don't really care. But I have to watch it. But I heard it's actually a fun, well-made movie.
You know, I'm sure it's going to be entertaining.
Exactly.
It was like Ford versus Ferrari. Had no interest in it. Not a car person. Don't care in the least. Watched it. It entertained me for the duration. It wasn't bad. And so I feel the same way about this. I think it's going to be fun. And I just won't be as
And you know, this is more on the F1 is more on the the entertainment factor than Ford versus Ferrari. Watch it on the biggest screen possible. Best, you know, watch it with a great sound system, like shit like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's really, you know, what they're saying about F1, and other than the fact that it's well made, well acted, and is actually a good film. So it's been getting the Oscar talk since it came out over the summer, which also is rare. Mm-hmm.
So I it's going to sound stupid, but I don't know anything about the movie, so I'm just reading the description now. So I'm assuming this is not a biopic. This is a fictional.
I believe it is fictional.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because, again, The Brutalist threw me off last year. I'm watching that. It's like, well, this has got to be a real person. Why would you make this shit up? It's like, really? You created a whole... Yeah. So, the lines blur sometimes.
Yeah, and I don't love that it's called F1, the movie.
Worst title of the year.
I don't love that, because I think it had to do that because F1 is trademarked, and if you add the movie, it does something with the trademark where it's allowed to be used. I don't know. On the ballot, it's just called F1, but all the posters, you know, digital releases, Blu-ray, DVD, it all says F1, the movie. Mm. I hate that it has the movie, because that's usually reserved for comic books and video games, and it's usually nothing of like very high quality. So
yeah, it's a clunky title. Yeah. Agreed.
So where do we want to start?
You might as well start with F1, since, you know, and then work your way down.
Well, no, I mean, are we going to start with Best Pictures, or are we going to end with Best Pictures?
I think we should do Best Picture and spend the most time on that, and then we can go to, because there's a lot of overlap. It seems ridiculous to read through every category. Let's focus on Best Picture, and we can kind of mention the other stuff they're nominated for, and you know, if you want to jump around after that. Sure.
All right, so F1 is one of the Best Picture nominees. As a matter of fact, I said I wasn't going to open a browser, but I actually should open a browser, because it'll tell me how many nominations and what they are instead of fishing through this.
So I can tell you, I've already got my stuff handy here. I can tell you, it's got 4 nominations.
All right, but I can click on the list here, and it'll tell us exactly what they are. So our 4 nominations.
I was going to tell you.
Well, you got to fish around your list for it, right?
No, go right ahead.
So the 4 nominations are obviously Best Picture, Best Achievement in Film Editing, which makes sense. It's a racing film, so the cuts have to be tight. You know, the scene to scene has to be, you know, right on the point. Also, Best Visual Effects. I don't know about that so much, but you know, I get that it's nominated for it, and Best Sound. So, right. Well, I mean, it's not so much that it's. You know, when a car on your screen veers from left to right, crashes, and then goes back right to left and all that stuff, and you have a good surround system, it's going to be encompassing. So,
oh, yeah, sure.
So I think you're looking at your Best Sound winner. I mean, we'll see what other films are nominated for that. What other films are nominated for that? Here it
is. What, Sound?
Sound. You got F1, Frankenstein, One Battle After Another, Sinners, and Surratt. I have the Surratt film. It's a festival. Like, this guy is looking for his daughter that went missing. Okay, it has music, but then that's why it's for Best Sound. No, there's no way F1 is absolutely winning this.
All right, I mean,
it's no fucking Sinners. Way. Sinners doesn't have better sound than F1.
All right.
It also has music in it, so that might be why it's also nominated. I think it's I think its biggest competition is probably One Battle After Another. But that's there's a lot of score. If One Battle After Another doesn't win Best Score, I will be disappointed. The score for that is phenomenal. All right, moving on. We have Begonia. Now, this is a film that I've been wanting to watch. And I am so happy it got nominated for Best Picture, because it forces me to watch it. Even my wife the other day was saying that she wanted to see it. So that's a good one. All right. So Begonia is nominated for Best Picture, Best Actress, Emma Stone, Best Adapted Screenplay, Will Tracy, And
right, it's adapted screenplay because it's a remake of a Korean film called Save the Green Planet.
Oh, okay. And best achievement in music, written, or best score. So it's got those four nominees. So this is one of those films that gets nominated. The director doesn't get nominated. So it's interesting.
This is one of the ones I don't see getting nominated in a five.
Well, we'll get the best director because you know my theory on that. All right. So,
but you're gonna like Begonia. It's good.
And
I've seen that, and I recommend watching Save the Green Planet as well.
Oh, I think I'll check both of them out. Moving on, Frankenstein. Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein.
Guillermo.
Yeah, you got to roll that R.
I love that. Guillermo.
Why is this in
it's
red?
One of the few names I can pronounce correctly, so I love it.
Guillermo. So this got nominated for 9 Oscars, which is a lot. So it's nominated for Best Picture, Best Achievement in Cinematography. Best achievement in makeup and hairstyling.
It's a period piece on top of the makeup.
But makeup and hairstyling, who is it up against? Oh yeah. Frankenstein, Kohoku, Sinner, Smashing Machine, and Ugly Stepsister. Its only competition is Sinners, in my opinion, and I think Frankenstein wins this one for makeup and hairstyling. There's just so much going on with that. Best original score, best sound.
Yeah.
Jacob Elordi is nominated for best actor in a supporting role.
Yes.
Oh, I just heard today that Denis Villeneuve, the guy that did,
The Arrival.
The Arrival, Prisoners, Dune, Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner. Like, he's a phenomenal director. He's directing the new James Bond film.
And oh,
Jacob Elordi apparently met with him to possibly play the new James Bond.
Yeah, I heard they're going young with that.
Well, I mean, Elordi is, 30. I mean, that's young for them, but...
yeah, that's all I'm saying. I heard they're going younger.
I think he's also 6'5". I think he's a big dude, too, which would make him the tallest... I think he's 6'5". Yeah, he's 6'5". That would make him the tallest James Bond ever.
The normal height.
Look at you. All right. Best adapted screenplay, Guillermo del Toro. Best achievement in production design and best achievement in costume design. I think Frankenstein wins a bunch of these. Especially makeup, possibly cinematography. Don't know about the actor in a supporting role, but Guillermo del Toro for screenplay, maybe. But it's probably going to go to Paul Thomas Anderson for that. Costume design, production design, I think it wins all of those. Of the 9, it probably wins 3 or 4 of them.
You know what I have to add to the wheel?
What's that?
It's the De Niro Frankenstein.
Oh. Didn't Gerard show up to that one?
Late. Drunk. Yeah.
Screaming.
Late and drunk.
And... screaming at the screen. You talking to me? You talking to me?
Yeah, I remember hiding him from people after the screening. Because they were looking for him.
My God, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
He did that to me, too. Him and Sean, when we went to go see Fargo. Except, they did that throughout the film. They didn't show up. We all went together. If nothing happens in the next 5 minutes, we're leaving. Then, of course, something happens. So I had to sit and stay and endure that. I did not like Fargo for the longest time because of that night. I had to revisit it again later to actually enjoy that film. All right, moving on.
All I want to say about Frankenstein is that I didn't want to see it because, how many times you got to make Frankenstein and it's too long and whatever. And, maybe I'm getting tired of Guillermo del Toro stuff. And I tell you, now that film made my cried at the end list.
It's a great movie. It really is a great film.
Guillermo knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he's an Oscar winning director.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And it was a great job. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. Next up, we have Hamnet, which is Hamnet. Chloe Zhao. This is the woman that won for Nomadland,
which I did not like.
I didn't hate it. It just wasn't great for me. But here's the thing, you know, she's nominated. Clearly, this is the style of film that she needs to make, because after she wins Best Picture and Director for Nomadland, Disney goes and gives her, you know, a shit ton of money to go make The Eternals, which was horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, listen, you're an Oscar-winning director and writer, and you know how to make films, but not those kind of films. It's not good. Sorry.
This film is my finger list of the Oscar Best Pictures. Yeah, I really no desire to see this. It's going to be a slog. I might be wrong. I've been wrong before, but yeah. Not my wheelhouse.
So what we'll have to do is at the end, we'll have to take a look at some run times and see what the shortest film and what the longest film is.
Mm, well, this one's 2 hours and 5 minutes. I've got
2 hours and 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this one is up. It's nominated for Best Picture, Best Casting, Original Score, Best Director, Chloe Zhao, Best Actress, Jessie Buckley, Best Adapted Screenplay, Chloe Zhao and Maggie O'Farrell, Production Design and Costume Design. So those are the 8 Oscars it's nominated for.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's a period piece, so it's in competition for the costume and hair and stuff.
Right.
Set design, that kind of thing. That's where this, I think, has its highest chance of success.
Yeah, but I think I think Frankenstein is going to take those, but you never know. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Marty Supreme, nominated for 9 Oscars. I know you're not a Safdie fan.
I don't think I am.
Uncut Gems. That's the only thing you've seen by them, right?
I actually think I'm going to go back and watch Good Times before I watch Marty Supreme.
I think you should. I think you should have watched that even before Uncut Gems, but that's me.
So, yeah, but this seems like in the same vein as Uncut Gems as far as, like, following a deplorable person.
Yes, I think so.
At least that's what I'm getting the vibes of here. And again, Timothée Chalamet is dead to me. So
why is he dead?
Because he did Wonka.
Stop it.
No, sir. Dead to me.
Stop it. That's ridiculous.
No. I'm here. I'm tired of him.
Okay. So, wow. Marty Supreme is nominated for Best Picture, Best Casting, Best Cinematography, Best Directing, Josh Safdie. Now, him and his brother usually make films together. This is the first time that they made movies separately. His brother went and made The Smashing Machine with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Mm-hmm. And his brother, Josh, made this film with Timothée Chalamet. And I'm surprised. Right. I mean, I guess that they just had things going on at the same time, because they normally mm-hmm. make their movies together. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually surprised that the brother wasn't even brought in as a producer for a chance to win an Oscar if let's say, it won, you know, Best Picture. Because the producers get those Oscars for picture. So I'm just surprised that they didn't make this one together. But it's Best Director, Best Actor in a Leading Role, Timothée Chalamet, Best Original Screenplay,
mm-hmm.
Best Achievement in Production Design, Best Costume Design, and Best Film Editing.
I'll be paying close attention to the screenplay aspect of this film.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. As far as all these other ones, like film editing, it's ping pong. I mean, yeah, it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm assuming you have to have some good editing to make that not make you want to puke, you know, make you nauseous mm-hmm. from the back and forths. So, but yeah. Costume design, it's a period film, takes place in the 50s. Yeah, I just don't know how many of these it's going to win. I think this is a film that, in the end, it's I'm just happy to be nominated type of nominations. That's what I'm thinking with it.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I everyone loves Chalamet, though. I wouldn't count him out for Best Actor.
Well, honestly, I keep hearing nothing but Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon for that. That's one of those nominations that they're calling early, like it's a lock for Ethan Hawke. But you never know. You never know. I don't know yet.
Yeah, that's low on my list to watch.
I'll make a decision when I see them all. Yeah. Moving on. One Battle After Another.
One Battle After Another.
I think this one has, what, 12? 13 nominations. Yeah, this one's got a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you've seen this already, right?
I have. Mare and I watched this together. We both really loved it. So,
I watched it alone. I'm not sure if Holly would be into it, but I dug it. But again, I like his adaptations of Pynchon novels. I think that's where he wins for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Inherent Vice is the other film of his I really liked.
You know, I never finished that.
Oh, you should give it a shot.
Well, I mean, I liked what I saw. I just had to stop the film, and I was never able to go back. Yeah.
Unlike Inherent Vice, One Battle After Another is based on Vineland, and I haven't read Vineland. Okay. So I don't have any comparison. I might try to read it before we review the movie, but that depends on when we review it, because it's a big book.
Well, we're gonna have to review these in a certain order, because not all of these are available digital yet.
Correct.
You have to go to a theater to see some of these. So
yeah,
off air we can talk a little bit about what we're gonna do next week, because we don't know what we're doing next week yet.
Mm-hmm.
We usually do two films a week until we do all 10. So, you know, that means if we do two a week, that means these are reviewed and finished. Let's see. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's February 26th. The Oscars aren't for another 2 weeks. So we can actually either take a little bit of a break because we'll have done so many movies, or we can do a couple of wheel spins.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so this is nominated, 13 nominations. So you have Best Picture, Best Casting, Best Cinematography, Best Original Score, which it better fucking win, Best Sound, Best Director for Paul Thomas Anderson, Best uh-huh. Actor, Leonardo DiCaprio, Best Supporting Actor, Benicio Del Toro.
Yes, Sensei!
Sean Penn, Best Actor in a Supporting Role. So they got two guys from the movie taking up two spots out of five categories.
Yeah, there's a couple of categories where that happens. I think Best Supporting Actress, that happens as well.
Yes, I think you're right. We'll get to that, but
yeah.
Yes, that film, sentimental value. Mm-hmm. Then Best Supporting Actress for Tiana Taylor. Best Screenplay, Paul Thomas Anderson. Best Production Design, and Best
Adapted
Film...
Screenplay.
Oh, Adapted Screenplay. Best Production Design and Best Film Editing. So, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know how many of these it wins, but I hear it's winning Best Picture. It's another one of those films that they say that's the lock. You know, expected to win Best Picture. Expected to win Best Director for Paul Thomas Anderson. Other nominees or in other categories, not sure. Score. I mean, it better win score. It should. There's no reason why it shouldn't. So, but yeah, that's the 13 nominations for One Battle After Another. The Secret Agent, which I was not expecting to get a nomination. It's one of those films that I wasn't expecting, like, I wasn't expecting Begonia to get a nomination. This film, you know, I was thinking that films like Wicked and Avatar, they were going to cave and give it to them.
I knew it was going to get Best International Film.
That, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What I was surprised didn't get Best International Film was No Other Choice, Korean film.
Oh.
Which I thought was exceptional, but
haven't seen it. I don't think I've heard of it.
But
oh, wait a minute. Yes, yeah. I did hear. I've been seeing some commercials for it lately. Yes, I have. Yeah, that's supposed to be excellent, I heard.
Oh, yeah, it was good. Very good. I would put it, it's in the same category as Parasite.
Okay.
I would say I would put it up there around Parasite level.
That might be why it did it. Maybe. I don't know.
Possible, yeah.
Okay, so it's up for Best Picture, Best International Feature Film, Best Actor, Wagner Moura, and Best Casting. Wagner Moura, he's been popping up in a lot of stuff. He was in Narcos. That's where a lot of people, including myself, first saw him. He played fucking drug pin. Why can't I think of his name? He was the most famous drug pin in the 80s. Fuck. God damn it. You know who I'm talking about.
Drug kingpin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have no idea.
Son of a... Pablo Escobar. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the most famous person ever to sell drugs in the history of it was Pablo Escobar. He played him in the TV show Narcos.
I'm not sold on this category of casting. Not digging it.
Well, I know why they have this nomination now. Because when a film hits and it does well and whatnot, they feel like it's like puzzle pieces. Everything has to fit. And much like having a good cinematographer where they're you know, giving you beautiful shots and having a great editor that, you know, cuts it all together, they're saying that casting is an important category because if the cast isn't right, the film, even if it's good, doesn't feel well made. I guess that's what they're going for with it.
I could say that about every aspect of the filmmaking process.
Yes, you can. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? They like giving themselves awards. This is just another award they give. They're giving themselves.
I guess. I don't know. I'm sure we'll hear something about it from the announcers. They'll go into detail.
Well, yeah, they're going to announce it because it's the first. It's the newest category.
Mm. So what's after that?
Sentimental value.
This was narrowly beat out by Hamnet for my finger list for the Oscars. This is my second most not want to watch.
I'm going to agree with you. I don't really want to watch this or Hamnet either. Of the 10, these are the two that I don't want to watch. Now, of course, these are the two that my wife is probably going to want to watch the most. Mm. So, you know, I'll watch it with her. We'll see what happens. But this film, this is up for 9 nominations. So you have Best Picture. You have Best International Feature. You have Best Director for Joachim Trier. Best Actress for Renate Reinsve.
Oh, just slaughter those names.
Reinsve. exactly.
Just right through the wood chipper.
Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Stellan Skarsgård. Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Elle Fanning. Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Inga Lobsdottir Lilaeus. It just rolls off the tongue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Best Original Screenplay and Best Film Editing. Again, don't know. I mean, it's possible you get a Best Supporting Actor out of this. Maybe.
Well, this is one I'll definitely have to see before I start making judgments on it. But, that's where, you know.
I just don't know. Yeah, I just don't know how many of these it's going to get. It might get International Feature because there's a lot of talk about this film, like a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's up there as far as the nominees
go. And it's another one of those, it's, you know, films about a filmmaker, so they all love that shit. I hate it myself. So like just navel gazing Hollywood. I don't care for it.
Yeah.
This is me.
Moving on, we have Train Dreams for
Train Dreams.
4 nominations. So you have Best Picture, Best Cinematography, Best Original Song, and best adapted screenplay.
Mm.
I don't think it wins anything.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, unless I watch it and the, just the cinematography is like, whoa, this is something special, you know?
It's definitely a dark, a long shot.
For sure. It's just happy to be nominated.
Mm.
All right. And ending the Best Picture category is the film that broke the record for most nominations ever with Sinners with 16. Let's take a look at what we got here. So we have Best Picture.
Every other category.
It's pretty much, there's only 24 categories. It's only not nominated in 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those are taken up by, you know, documentary short,
mm-hmm.
Animated short, animated live, or So of the other, of the 8,
it's
impossible for it to be nominated in the other ones.
It was nominated for every category that it could conceivably be nominated for, basically.
Except for, let's see, international film.
Again, but it's not an international film, so it
could. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Is it in every category? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Are you just counting right now?
6. Yeah, yes I am. You just heard me do it. So it's not nominated in six others because it's impossible for it to be nominated in those.
Right. Yeah. So I mean this is the film, it's going to win it, you know, law of averages, it's going to win some awards. So
it's probably going to walk away with about half of them, except for probably the most important, which is picture and director, to be honest.
Yeah, it's rare for a horror film to get.
Whoa, we lost you. It's rare for. Hold on, you're breaking up bad.
I mean,
dude.
You know, Get Out.
Can you hear me? Nobody heard anything for like the last 15 seconds. Nobody heard you for 15 seconds.
I know. I stopped because you said you were having trouble. I was breaking up. It's good. I was just saying it's rare for a horror film to get nominated to begin with, and it's swept so much. I feel like they can easily not give it Best Picture, and people won't be screaming like a snub because it's so rare to get nominated in the first place. I mean, and then we have Weapons is also nominated this year too, so that's nice to see some horror films representing. We've got 2 horror films up for Best Picture.
How many nominations did Weapons get? Just the one, right? Supporting actor.
Just the one, as far as
But that director, what's his name? Duggar, I forget his name. He's absolutely moving in that direction, where something of his is going to get nominated for Best Picture at some point. Because his films are of very high quality, even though they do lean towards the horror end of things. Mm-hmm. His films are just extremely well made. They just are.
Yeah, they're smart. They're smart. They're smart. I'm sure people listening might disagree about Barbarian being a smart film, but I thought it was
fucking great movie. Smart. Great fucking movie. I will fight you. All right, so let's get this done. So Best Picture for Sinners, Best Casting, Best Cinematography, Best Makeup and Hairstyling, Best Original Score, Original Song, Best Sound, Best Visual Effects, Best Director, Best Actor in a Leading Role, Michael B. Jordan, which in my opinion is a bit of a stretch. I liked him in but Best Actor.
He played
double duty. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people play 2 parts.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it now, but I don't know why Mia Goth had to play 2 parts in Frankenstein. She really irritates me.
All right. Then we have Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Delroy Lindo. I do like him. Thought he was good in that. I actually thought he was real good in that.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress, Wunmi Masaku.
I think you nailed it.
I think I got that one. Mm-hmm. Best original screenplay by Ryan Coogler. Best production design, best costume design, and best film editing. Yeah, it's a total crapshoot as far as like what it's going to win and what it's not going to win. This is one of those years where I'm going to have a real hard time getting a lot of these right, I think.
Yeah, this is a challenging year. There's lot of good films.
There's just too many. There's just too many.
And even the ones I don't want to watch, I can tell are good films, you know, just going into it. It's not, you know, there's been worse years than this. I'm very happy. Again, no Avatar. No Avatar. We're golden.
We're good. So that's your best picture category. Let's do best director real quick. So my theory on best director, and I've told Scott this for years, any of you that have been listening to this show for the last 15 years or so, my theory on best director, because it's ironic, the year we started this podcast is when the Oscars went to 10 nominees.
Mm-hmm.
So I've literally been talking about this from the beginning of this show. So my theory is, in most instances, the Academy will nominate up to 10 films, or mostly 10 films at this point, but they will only nominate 5 directors. And my theory is, that is a very telling category, because if it was still 5 nominees, your 5 directors would really show you, if it was still 5 nominees, that those are the 5 films that the Academy perceives to be probably better than the other 5 that are nominated. So in this category, that would make it Hamnet. So that would be one of the 5 if they still had 5 nominees. Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sentimental Value, and Sinners. And to be honest, all of those films have 8, 9, 13, 16, you know, nominations. Those 5, if it was still only 5, would be the ones that are up.
Yeah, I agree. This year's very straightforward.
Yeah, it's very telling category, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of these other categories we did talk about, like best actor. Like the only one that we didn't mention was Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon, because Blue Moon isn't nominated for Best Picture, but he's nominated for Best Actor. It's considered that he's probably going to win that category. That's what they're talking about now. Best Supporting Actor, we talked about everybody in there. Benicio del Toro, Jacob Elordi, Delroy Lindo, Sean Penn, and Stellan Skarsgård. Actress, they're saying Jessie Buckley for Hamnet is probably the front runner to win that. She's a really good actress.
And, I'm sure.
No, she is. She's a really good actress. And it just seems like she's probably going to win that one. That's what everyone says. Oh, Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue, which is the Neil Diamond Lightning and Thunder. It's based on a true story.
Yeah.
They said that she's phenomenal in that movie. So,
Something about that film irritates me.
That it's Neil Diamond?
Something about making a film with, like, you know, major celebrities doing a biopic about a celebrity impersonator. Something about that just something in the back of my brain just starts twisting tight. I just can't.
I don't know if I know as far as where you're going with that, but I understand. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, I just and since I keep seeing it pop up in these lists, I keep getting the song stuck in my head.
Well, that's the point. And Rose Byrne, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, is in the Best Actress category. Supporting Actress. We talked about all of these, except for Amy Madigan for Weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So she's nominated for Best Supporting Actress. They're talking about her possibly being the front runner, but I keep hearing Inga Lob's daughter, Lalaeus, from Sentimental Value.
I think Weapons is an honor to be nominated situation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Amy Madigan, really hasn't been in the public eye for a mm-hmm. while as far as acting goes. She's been doing stuff, but people, like, when we went to go see it, and I usually never do this because I'm really good with faces and movies that they've been in and whatnot. And I lean over to Mare and I'm like, it's driving me fucking crazy. I know her. I know her face. I can see the film that she's in, but I don't know, like, her. She just leans over to me and she goes, Uncle Buck. And I'm like, oh, of course. But I mean, I've seen her in a ton of other things. Like, she was in Streets of Fire. She was awesome in Streets of Fire. There was another film. Was it called No Man's Land? I forget what it was called, but it's like her kid gets kidnapped or some shit. She goes after them. Something like that. Then you got, like, these other ones, cinematography and documentary. We don't have to talk about those. What we will talk about, we'll talk about Best Animated Feature real quick, because it's another Best Picture. Yeah. So you have
What the fuck is going on?
Arco, Elio, which is a Disney film that made no money.
Oh.
K-pop Demon Hunters. I know. Little Amelie, or The Character of Rain. And Zootopia 2.
Zootopia fucking 2. They ruined this category when they changed the voting rules. They were so desperate. Lego fucking Lego Movie is the reason. That's the reason that category is shit now, is because Lego Movie got nominated and they all lost their fucking shit. Like, we can't do this because we're not promoting our films. Oh, I hate it. Fucking. I mean, I saw Zootopia 2 there. I just, like, twitched. You're gonna be fucking kidding me. And I'm not. No casting no aspersions on K-pop Demon Hunters. I haven't seen it, but I don't really
care.
I feel like it's just because it was popular, not because it's actually good.
Oh, absolutely. It's yes. That's 100% why it's nominated. That's also 100% why Zootopia 2 is nominated.
Because
everything else, Arco, Elio, and Little Amelie made nothing. Made no money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the exception of Elio, some people might know that film because it came out for 10 fucking minutes. But the other two, nobody knows what the fuck those movies are. It's like the film from last year that won Best Picture. What was it? Flow with the cat? Was that primarily a silent film, or it was a silent movie?
But that would have been nominated. That would have been nominated.
And I'm not saying it wasn't good. From what I saw, it was excellent. Yeah. But it just, I'm glad a film like that got nominated and won. I mean, I feel like this Little Amelie or Arco are probably in that similar vein of film that Flow was. So, all right, we're moving on. The last two categories before we end the show, the two categories that Scott loves, it's Best Adapted Screenplay. The nominees in there are Begonia, Frankenstein, Hamnet, One Battle After Another, and Train Dreams. I'd have to think One Battle After Another probably gets that one.
Yeah, I mean, again, everybody's loving it. But again, Frankenstein, I thought it was so well done. Begonia, I think Begonia is a long shot. And I haven't seen Hamnet or Train Dreams yet. So
if I had to just guess without, because I've only seen Frankenstein and One Battle. If I had to guess, One Battle's only competition is probably Hamnet, just because of how much hype Hamnet has gotten about how it's, you know, from the written word to the screen is pretty much perfect or flawless or however you want to call it. So
I read it. I sought out a couple of critical reviews on Hamnet to get an idea feel for it. And from what I read, having not seen it yet, it might be more of a long shot in this category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Best original screenplay.
Blue Moon.
It Was Just an Accident, which I'm surprised didn't show up in more nominations, but
yeah, I knew that was another one that I knew was going to show up under Best International.
Right. Yeah, that's under International, right? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Marty Supreme, Sentimental Value, and Sinners. For original screenplay, I'm betting Marty Supreme walks with that or Sinners. I'm not sure which one yet, but
I've only seen Sinners out of that category, so I've got a lot of homework to do before I weigh in on that.
Yeah. Yeah, without seeing Marty Supreme, but having seen Sinners, I think those are probably the front runners.
Mm-hmm.
When I see Marty Supreme, I will probably vote with my heart, not my brain, you know, and that's usually how I get those films wrong.
Yeah,
because in my heart I'm like, this is the better fucking movie, and I know it can get a little hairy because, you know, a lot of these are popularity contests.
Yeah, well, it is a popularity contest.
Well, no, I've heard that you know these actresses, directors, they make like the circuit, and it's like they go to all of these parties, and they're like, "Thank you for the nomination," and they kiss people's asses, and that's how they get the votes. Except this year, the Best Picture category was changed to, in order to vote for it, you have to have seen the movie.
But how do you confirm that?
I don't know.
How do you confirm that?
I do not know. I mean, maybe you get all 10 films, and then once you watch it, it puts like a watched tick on it. You know, I have no idea how that shit works. But if they're requiring you to see the film,
I don't.
There's got to be a way that they're monitoring it.
I feel like they just put that in there because enough people are bitching on social media and YouTube, on movie people, about how it's impossible to watch all those films that they're voting on.
We do it,
and no one does. Yeah, you know, so I mean, I've seen it.
We do it, and we have. You know, they have.
I've seen plenty.
They can watch all 10 movies in a week. We can't, and we still do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It's like, for your consideration. They get all the for your consideration,
yeah,
digital or physical disc, and you know, 10 movies is not hard to watch when you got nothing else to do.
I guarantee you, nobody's shaking down the Academy voters and saying, "You were sure you watched this film?" Yeah, that's not happening. Yeah,
I don't know how they're keeping track, but if they're saying you have to watch it, they must be keeping track in a way. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you go to a secure website to watch it, and when you hit the end credits, it marks that you've seen it. I don't know.
Can I say once again just how grateful I am that I don't have to watch Avatar?
Yes, I feel the same way.
I was anxious about it last week.
Were you really?
Like waiting for the awards. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have to watch Avatar. I'm gonna have to watch fucking Wicked again. Come on, you know, it was just. But how many of the Best Picture films have you seen so far?
Let me see. I have seen 3. I've seen 3 of them. I've seen Frankenstein, I've seen One Battle After Another, and I've seen Sinners.
Okay, so I've seen those and Begonia, so I'm only ahead of you by 1.
Yeah, so I have Begonia, I have F1, I have Train Dreams. I do not believe Sentimental Value, The Secret Agent, Hamnet, or Marty Supreme are available in any way other than theatrical right now.
Nope. I checked this afternoon, and at the moment there's a telescene of Marty Supreme, and I refuse.
No, absolutely not.
No.
That.
I have standards.
Same. Absolutely. Listen, we only got to review 9 of the 10 because the one film didn't get released digitally until like April or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we could only do 9 of the 10. It's possible that we do that again this year. We couldn't, you know, we might not be able to get all 10.
I don't know. I feel like these films aren't as obscure as that one was. That was really an art house film. I mean, A Secret Agent and Sentiment of Value are art house films, but
they've
been out for a while. Yeah, they're not recent.
So now that they're nominated, I wouldn't be one bit surprised if they end up going digital pretty soon.
Within the next
couple of weeks to a month.
There'll be screeners. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'm actually looking forward to this year. I'm hoping to watch. I actually downloaded some of the shorts that are available.
You know, I always want to do that, and I never do it.
It's really hard to get them all. I got a handful of them. I just want to, you know, have, you know, less of a guess on those categories.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like if I could see them, I would probably be better at guessing which one's going to win.
And I'm going to take a shot at watching the best documentary features this year. I'm really going to try to.
How many are available?
Three or four. I think I have three.
So best documentary is The Alabama Solution, Come See Me in the Good Light, Cutting Through Rocks, Mr. Nobody Against Putin, and The Perfect Neighbor. You know what's interesting? I'm surprised the John Candy documentary didn't get nominated. And it wasn't on any lists, you know, either. Because I saw that documentary. It was excellent.
They usually leave
those documentary films, like the ones they nominate for the ones that are like this. They're usually more on a political, they're usually more on a sentimental, kind of value. Documentaries like the John Candy one, because it's about one person.
Just a documentary biopic. They're cranking them out so much. Like, it just reminds me of that that line from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy about spending all the human race spending all their time running around making documentaries about each other. and he says, "Do we? There's a Chevy Chase one. There's this. It's like, do we really care? I mean, that much? But that's me. I'm not into reading biographies too much, and I don't know. I'm just more into fiction, I guess. That's just me.
I guess. I mean,
bitter. Oh, and by the way, how grateful am I that we're not doing Razzies this year instead of Oscars? Did you see the Razzies nominees?
No, I haven't.
Here's Worst Picture 5. Electric State. I'm not watching that shit. Hurry Up Tomorrow. No way am I watching that.
Which one is that?
That's the Weeknd. It's that movie by the guy called The Weeknd.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah. Then Disney's Snow White. Shit, no. Star Trek Section 31. Nah. And War of the Worlds.
Oh, that's the one with Ice Cube.
Yeah. So, all of those have been like reviewed the death by everybody. Like the minute they came out of the gate, everybody hated them. Everybody knows. It's like there's no worth even talking about them. Rather than making myself watch them. It's like, screw that. Yeah. So you know, the Razzies can like take a backseat this year to anything important. Cool.
I like looking at the nominees for the Razzies. I don't like watching anything that they nominate.
Typically I do, but this year I just have no patience for it. And again, it's all the same stuff. Like, it's all mainstream bitching instead of just like, you know. I mean, sometimes there's something to them. This year I don't like feel like there's anything to them. It's just noise.
Do you have anything else you want to add before we end it?
About the Oscars? Because we're going to talk off stage about which ones we're going to review first and stuff. But No, I'm just, again, thank the gods.
No Avatar.
No Avatar. No Wicked. Finally, I can leave some franchises and let them die without ever seeing them again. Thank God. Oh.
There you go.
I don't know if I can handle bitching about another Avatar film. I mean, it's exhausting.
Two more coming. Although this film has made the least amount of money out of all three. People are getting fucking tired of the Avatar movies because they're clearly getting tired of it because they're showing that with their wallets. The first film made $3 billion. Whoop-de-fucking-do. All right? It was like, oh, my God, it's the best thing I've ever seen. I can't believe how, you know, it's amazing. I'm so depressed Pandora doesn't exist. It's like all that stupid shit. Then the second film comes out and makes something like 2.2 $2 billion. So, you know, it made less money, but not by a, like a gigantic margin, you know, wasn't like half. It was, you know, only $700-800 million less. And people are like, okay, I went to go see it because it's the second film. We waited fucking 12 years for it because that's what fucking James Cameron does.
And I think my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then the third film comes out, and I think it's only up to like one point. And believe me, it's a lot of money, more money than it deserves. It's like $1.2 billion, and it's probably going to end somewhere around $1.4, $1.5. So it's just continually making less. So when the fourth film comes out, I wouldn't be one bit surprised if it makes less than a billion, and then that fifth film comes out and does the same thing.
My favorite thing is I found there was an interview recently with James Cameron, and apparently he's pissy that there's a lot of people calling it a cartoon now.
Good.
Say, why are you calling it a film? It's all animated. It's a cartoon. And he's like, well, you know, we have actors and stuff. He's, yeah, they're called voice actors. He's like, no, we put on suits and move around and stuff. He's like, shut up. Yeah, fuck. Go find Titanic.
Right. Yeah, they wear suits and have little white dots on them.
But just, finally, the show's not forcing me to watch something that I really, 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 really don't want to watch. You know, the other ones, I'm Marty Supreme, Hamnet, I'm, yeah, fine. Yeah, you know, let's take a dive into something in uncharted territory. But, you know, yeah, oh, fuck that.
All right, let's go ahead and end this bad boy.
Yeah.
As always, thank you again. This is episode 461. We do this every year where we talk about the nominees and then we kick off reviewing all the best pictures. So this year we did, we pretty much touched every nomination except for a couple. But yeah, episode 461, you can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com and you can download, listen, and or click on the YouTube link and watch this episode and many others right from the website. You can also go to iTunes and you can listen to our show there. Go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and see everything that we post. It goes there. Go to letterboxd.com/moviesucktastic and see everything that Scott's doing there. You can also call us at 908-514-4470. You can leave us email at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. If you leave us an email, we'll read it on the show. And you can download our podcast player at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or better yet, go and download your favorite podcast player and just do a search for Movie Sucktastic. You can also go and listen to us on a multitude of streaming services like iHeartRadio and Pandora. We're on Spotify now, so Amazon Music. We're pretty much everywhere. So if you do a search for Movie Sucktastic, you're going to find all our episodes 100% free. You can just go listen to them and have fun. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Yeah, fuck the Oscars.
All right, I like it. I dig it, man. Good vibes only. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we'll review two Oscar films from the Best Picture list.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know which ones yet, but we'll let you know. Do you?
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you later, guys. Bye-bye.
Ciao.